2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Whew. In the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land." Mm-mm-mm. They smile in your face. Anyway, then everyone, it's in the text, it's right there now. Then everyone who has a complaint or a case could come to me and I would see that they receive justice. Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way toward all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice. And so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Get out of here. He did what? And he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Lord, I ask for your power, your grace to reside upon me to bring a word right now. Not a word from 8 o'clock, but a word for 11 o'clock at this noon hour right now. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the word that will bring us into a better understanding of you and take us from one level of glory to the next. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. If you take your seat, I want to speak to you. I'm still going to be in this series, One Team, One Dream. This is a two-part series, One Team, One Dream, Who You With? I know it sounds hood, but it's not. One Team, One Dream, Who You With? And again, this sermon is a sermon that I would probably have taught to leaders at a leadership conference or at some type of preacher's camp, but God so saw it fit for me to preach this sermon on this morning. And I received confirmation this morning after I spoke it, not because the preacher who inboxed me this morning, he didn't even see this one, but he was thanking me for the sermon that we did on last week when we talked about One Team, One Dream. And he began to talk about the part when I said that sometimes preachers, it's hard for them to pastor because people make them common. And he began to go on and expound in my inbox to tell me why he thanked me so much for that particular word. And he began to understand why he had so much trouble. And sometimes we need to understand that God brings a word, and sometimes when we bring a word, that word may not make us happy. But as your pastor, I must bring a word, whether in season or out of season. And when they say in season, out of season, that means if you want to hear it, if you don't. And I have to bring that word whether you want to hear it or not. But anyway, as I began to read the text, Brother Brooks, I began to read the text, and I began to ask, how do we make our voice viable for 20 and 30 years? I get called a lot now, but how do we remain viable over the years? It is okay to be popular, but popularity only lasts a season. It is not the loudness of your voice that determines your viability, ministers. It is not the hoop that maintains your viability. It is not the size of your church or the amount of Twitter followers that you have that determines your viability. What makes your voice viable is a long-term vision, and not by attempting to be popular by tweeting the latest fads and sound bites. In this age of the 60-second Instagram soundbite, real preachers get alienated at times because the church has become accustomed to hearing get-rich-quick sermons and words that are always good and tickle our ears. We have become accustomed, as I often say, to receiving candy canes and beach nuts and Snicker bar sermons. And we don't want to eat our lima beans and cabbage and black-eyed pea sermons. Therefore, when we receive a word of correction and the Holy Spirit convicts us, we want to shoot the messenger as if the messenger is excited to bring you that type of word. I would challenge you to read Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and other prophets. In fact, when I began to read Ezekiel, when I was walking on the mountain at Kilimanjaro, I began to understand and see that God got so mad at preachers for not keeping it real. God was telling preachers, I'm going to tear down the house that you're building because you're not building it in my name, and you continue to try to give people what they want to hear and not what I say. See, people think the preacher is upset when he or she brings a word that's passionate or a word that upsets you, when they're simply saying what thus says the Lord. If the preacher is to remain viable, he or she has to deliver the word in season and out of season, and not let those hit dogs that holler deter them from delivering the word that God gives them. The problem with the 21st century church is that pastors are so eager to cash the checks and don't want to upset the people that pay their salary. This causes them to water down the word and the leadership that God has ordained them to deliver and to operate in. In this soundbite society, the only way some people feel like they can grow their church is to say something catchy so that everyone will like it on Instagram and Twitter. I'm not saying don't use the technological tools to deliver the message to the masses, because I do the same thing. But what I am saying is stop trying to tailor your sermons and God's word so that the world and the church can stomach the message God gave you. When he gives it to you black, stop putting milk and sugar in it and cream. Come on, somebody. We have to deliver the word that may cut sometimes. You can't, as a preacher, be in your study trying to figure out where in your message the people are going to get the most excited. When you sit down to craft a message, you have to listen to what God is saying. And remember, you are not there to be popular. You are there to train up and transform people. The end of the sermon is not the shout or the hoop. It is the invitation for Christian discipleship. See, some of us want candy cane sermons, but if you had a candy cane sermon and didn't get a collard green sermon and didn't get black eyed peas, what you gonna do when you go home and your wife has had an aneurysm? What you gonna do when you go home and your husband has tipped out on you? What are you gonna do when the doctor says there's a spot on your lungs? What are you gonna do when you haven't really had a real word? You gotta understand, the substratum of our faith is rooted in suffering. And Jesus says, if you don't learn how to suffer with me, you can't rule with me. Oh, can I talk to you for a minute? I know some of you all are getting mad because sometimes, stop whining when you get a word from God that upsets you and that makes you feel guilty for what you're doing. That's because God is trying to chastise you, because he chastised those who he loves, and he's trying to get you into right standing with him. Stop whining when God doesn't give you a word that you want to hear. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? Can I tell you something? Last I checked, I don't care how hot your plate is, when the chef serves it to you, it's always hotter in the kitchen. Yeah. Your plate may be hot, but if you can't handle the heat that the plate is served on, you definitely can't handle the heat that's in the kitchen. Oh, y'all don't want to hear me. See, you act like the pastor's hands and the preacher's hands don't get a little hot and burnt when they bring the message. You got to understand, if it's hot to you when it's served, it definitely burning me up. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. When you are faithful to what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about trying to brown those people and finagle your way and manufacture a false blessing. You have to remember that you are like a tree planted beside the rivers of living water. Stop trying to rush your blessing. God will give you what you're supposed to have in your season. Stop trying to manufacture these fake blessings, because you're going to manufacture them at the wrong time and the winter wind is going to dry them up. Oh, see, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, some of you all try to put yourself in places that your character can't sustain you. Your gifts may be ready to get you there, but your mindset and your personality and your character, and are y'all hearing me, cannot sustain where you are. God will bless you in your due season. When I began to walk on the mountain, they had this saying called pole pole, which means go slow, because the faster you go up the mountain, the more treacherous it is to your body, because you don't give your body enough time to acclimatize and get enough oxygen in your body. Some of you all are suffocating from the manufactured blessing that you walked in that God never meant for you to be at. Oh, y'all don't hear me. I'm trying to talk to you for a minute. See, God has a way of looking upon your faithfulness and putting you where you're supposed to be. See, I was in Atlanta making my money, selling my houses, doing what God told me to do, being a principal, and all of a sudden, God told me to go to catch that midnight train in reverse and go to Virginia. I didn't want to go to Virginia. TDJ prophesied to me and told me I was going to be pastoring in 6 months. I was like, whatever, you false prophet. Then Deacon Spells, who was over. I ain't say it out loud. I was scared. Don't worry. I thought about it. I'm just going to keep it 100. He bigger than me, and his entourage was too. So in my mind, just making sure y'all know I ain't say that loud. I'm just, in my mind, I was like, whatever, you false prophet. You ain't even daggone applying for nothing. But somebody had sent my resume in, hadn't heard of New Beach Grove, hadn't heard of Newport News. But 6 months later, I ended up right what Jake's told me to do. But you don't get these type of blessings unless you seeking God's face. Can you hear me? You don't understand what I'm saying. Some of y'all keep trying to look for these jobs. I'm not saying don't fill out an application, but I have not filled out an application on my own since 1997. Once I got my job as a teacher, somebody asked me to apply for the job of assistant principal. I applied and I got it. New Birth came and got me to become a principal. New Beach Grove called me out the blue. I didn't send it in. I was called to be on the planning commission. I was called to be on the board of review for the tax assessor's office. I was called to be at Hampton University. I was called to serve as a chaplain. I didn't apply for anything that I do, because what? When you begin to do your job the way God tells you to do your job, he'll open up the windows of heaven and brought a blessing you won't have room to receive. Some of y'all trying to chase blessings, but if you chase God, blessings will chase you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Oh, God knows how to do it and bless you. It only come when you understand that you got to put God's face first, and you got to be planted and bloom where you planted. Some of y'all know you a seed, but you keep getting out one pot, going to the First Baptist Denby pot. Then you go to the First Baptist Morrison pot. Then you go to this pot, and you wondering why you're not growing, because you don't have enough topsoil in under your feet in order for you to grow, because you keep uprooting yourself in one place when you get upset and going somewhere else. You got to learn how to be where God has planted you. You don't take up the watermelon seed, and when you go to your mama house and take it with you and plant it over there, okay, now I'm about to go to my daddy's house. Now, no, you leave the seed where it is, and it planted and it grow. And some of y'all are leaving jobs because Absalom's are running you out the house, and some of y'all are leaving your family because Jezebel has stepped in, and you continue to let the devil run you out of your blessing because you don't understand how to Oh, these punk Christians, you better learn how to knuck if you buck. I got to pray for you before you leave. But blessings like this, Brother Dre, only come when you have a long-term vision. You can't serve like you only going to be there for a couple of years. You got to serve like you're going to be there for the rest of your life. That way you are not out there counting the days until you move on to bigger and better things. If you are a youth pastor, be a youth pastor. You will be a pastor in due time. If you're in a See, some of y'all so busy trying to be number one, you ain't doing a good job at being number two. You trying to be first chair, but you ain't got your second chair position down yet. God doesn't call people up that don't know how to be faithful to somebody else's vision and elevate them. God elevate those who are faithful to other people and help other people. God not going to elevate you until you learn how to help somebody else with your selfish self. You silly Christian, you. That's why David was able to endure the time when he was being hunted down by Saul. He knew that he had already been ordained and that the wilderness was not his destiny. Even when he was playing the harp for the palace, he knew he would one day be king there. And so he played like that was the last job he was going to have. If you ever work your job like you ain't never going to leave that job and love the job that God gave you, even though your supervisor get on your nerves, God gave you that job. because he's the one that gave you the power to obtain wealth. He's the one that gave you that job. He's the one that gave you that opportunity. Whether your supervisor is good or bad, happy or sad, greedy or mad, it don't matter what they put you through. God has given you that job to bless you. And you keep letting Absaloms and Jezebels run you out the house. What in the world? Some of y'all let folk run you out the place that don't even give you your check. I ain't letting nobody run me out the place that signed mine. Give me my check with your seed itself. Might not say it out loud, but that's what I'm thinking. See, the problem was, once he began to rule in the palace, his voice ceased to be viable. Oh, y'all don't hear me. The scripture tells us that after David had been serving for a while, one of his sons, one of his trustees, one of his deacons, one of his armor bearers, one of his ministers, if you will, who had unresolved issues began to undermine him. Oh, one thing that can cut a viable voice short is unresolved issues. Because you can't stay in ministry without getting wounded and hurt. If you are not careful, the pain and the battle scars from the saints, I have had very few sinners lie on me. Worldly folk ain't lying on me yet. But it will cause us to get up and preach on things that happened in the last board meeting when people need a word of hope from the Lord. When I arrived on the scene, Sister Rosita, I had a few senior people that said you shouldn't send a boy, you know, to do a man's job. And they gave me holy hallelujah. And God allowed me to survive the onslaught long enough for them to make a mass exodus. But some of the same things still go on that I was able to handle on my own through God in the past. However, after you continue to endure many battles within your camp, over time it begins to affect your attitude and your disposition. If you don't learn how to handle your pain when your people hurt you, the voice that is strong and vibrant will begin to get choked up, weak, hoarse, and muffled because of the internal pain that you continue to fool yourself into thinking you can praise and preach yourself out of. See, the only way you can deal with the pain is to spend time with God. That's why on Saturdays I try to stay away from people and get with God so I can dump out all the mess that I went through the week so I can get fortified by God. So when I come up here and preach, I won't bleed on people. That's why I don't answer your text messages. That's why I don't return your call. Because on Saturday, I'm trying to make sure I get in the presence of God. So when I get in the presence of God, I'll be able to bring you his presence through me right here. Come on, somebody. That's why if you, my friend, don't text me mess on Saturday night and Sunday morning, wait until I get out the pulpit and bring me foolishness. Why? Because I need to be in the face of God because of the hell I go through. I don't need to bring the hell I go through up here in the pulpit. I need, oh, y'all don't hear me what I'm saying. That's why God is trying to bring up some leaders. I need some Ben Hurs. I need some Rachels. Come on, somebody. I need some Ruths. I need some Aarons. I need some Joshuas and some Calebs. I need some folk that can help hold my arms up so I don't have to go into battle all the time. I need somebody that know how to pray on their own and don't need pastor to pray for them all the time. I need some people to come out the shadows that got some different gifts that understand that God has called me for a time such as this. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If you just step up and do a little bit of your job, where would God take us? I don't know why I'm preaching so happy right now, but I believe God is about to bring some leaders out of the shadows. I believe God is about to bring some people that are gifted, that's been hiding, that people don't know their gifts, and God is about to tell you to stop hiding your gifts under the shade tree and bring your light out of the darkness so that people can be able to see the power that you walk in, so New Beach Grove can walk in the corporate anointing it's supposed to walk in. I'm believing that some gifted folk are in this house, right? I turn Deacon Spells to Psalm 139, where David begins to tell God he hated his enemies. Yeah, Sister Glory, he said, kill their babies. Dash their head on the stone. That's the type of prayer I be wanting to pray sometimes. not the baby that's crying, but I'm just saying. But David said, kill them and kill their babies because I don't want their children coming to get me. And all of a sudden, in the midst of his prayer, Brother Derrick, he began in verse 23 and 24, he began to say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there's any offense or offensive way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Stop trying to change your enemies and change yourself. Because truth be told, if you stop worrying about your enemies and worry about God, your enemies will begin to leave you alone. You know why? Because it says even your enemies will have peace with you. Why? It's not that they like you. They understand they can't do nothing to you. Because when they understand you ain't going to get mad no matter who they... See, that's why you got to be careful. Because people know you talk to me. People know you talk to me. People know y'all talk to me. They'll begin to bring y'all mess that they know they ain't going to say to me because they know I ain't going to pay them no mind. But they'll try to go to Dre because they know Dre will bring them the daggone news. I know you don't, but I'm just saying. But I'm just saying because the only thing they trying to do is bring some mess to make sure. And it ain't even them. See, even Jesus had to deal with Peter because when Peter began to tell him not to go to the cross, he said, get ye behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get you behind me, Peter. And he still built the church on Peter, even though Peter betrayed him, but even though Peter denied him because he gave him another chance. I know some people be shady in my life. I know some people do wrong. But just like, remember that movie Fallen with Denzel Washington and the demon kept going from this place to this place? Well, that's what demons do. Demons don't try to go to your enemies all the time. You already know where they are. Sometimes demons try to go to your mama and your daddy. Demons try to go to your friend. Demons try to go to your bishop and your pastor. Demon try to go to your deacon. Deacon try to go to your best friend. Deacon try to go to your wife and your husband. Demons try to go to wherever they know they can influence you the most. And you got to begin to say, get you behind me, Satan. I know that ain't you today right now. I know that's the devil that's trying to use you, but you better get you behind me right now. We can be boys tomorrow, but you better shut up right now. Oh, I feel better. I think this one is going, I'm keeping a little more toned down. I ain't gonna wear my shoes. I ain't wear my shoes no more. Oh God! When a leader becomes depleted and worn out, he or she may have a brief faith breakdown. Most of the time, it's the same cast of characters that always agitate the leader. Don't you see Spider-Man? He ain't got that many more enemies. It's the same Jokers that get on their nerves. You see Joker, even though the Joker died in one movie, he come back again. How in the world did Joker come back after he fell off the roof that time at the first Batman, but he back? Same cast of characters. The blessing and curse of a true leader is that we have discernment. I used to hate when I was a little kid, Deacon Smith, because I would always know who liked me and who didn't, but my mom and them didn't understand, but I already knew because that was always my gift. I knew when they was there. I knew when they didn't like me. The crazy thing about it is I know how to control it now. So when people at church hug me and don't like me, I know they don't. Oh, Jesus, help me. But I go ahead and hug them anyhow. And see, even with Jesus, watch this. Sister Rose, I began to look at Jesus. Jesus asked the rich young ruler, why dost thou call me good? He said, why you call me good? See, most people would think it's a compliment, Minister Sean, but Jesus knew that it wasn't a compliment. He knew it was subtle shade. So Jesus asked a subtle shade question. Why you call me good teacher? Because really he was calling him good teacher because he really was trying to reduce Jesus down from his divinity and make him a mere man. And God with Jesus was really saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm Emmanuel. God is with us. I know who I am. Stop letting people name you what they think you're supposed to be named. Stop letting people put you in the box and tell you you can't start that real estate business because you can't do that. Stop letting people tell you what you can't do because you don't have a degree. You can't go over there. You too dark. You too light. You too fat. You too skinny. You too broke. You too rich. Stop letting people name you. Jesus said, don't you? I'm good. Okay. Oh, no. I am the Feast of Weeks. You don't need to worry about this type of Leviticus no more. I am the sacrificial lamb. I am the Passover. I am whatever you need me to be. Why you call me good teacher? Don't you let people reduce you down from what God has called you to do. Yeah. Absalom. Y'all thought I lost myself, didn't you? Yes, sir. Absalom, with unresolved issues, began to go to the gate of the city. And when anybody would come with a complaint, he would say, well, if I was in charge. Deacon Dawson, he do good with the members of the sick and shut in, but if I was in that spot. Deacon Easley, he a good chair, but if I was the chair. Sister Claude, yeah, she do a good job, and I think Pastor should have picked her, but if I were the superintendent of Sunday school. See, you always have a crowd that has unresolved issues that will play into your own anger. Because we feel as though we are being denied something that's due us. You know why y'all don't get on my nerves? Because I know I ain't supposed to be here just like you don't. Truth be told, the reason why people get mad is because it ain't because they think they call. They know they ain't deserve the position either. But they mad because they know you don't deserve it. But they mad because you got chosen and not them. When you understand that you chosen and it's not your degree, it's not that you qualified, it's just God has favor on you, you will stop acting like something owed to you. That's why I don't get mad when deacons come against me no more. I don't get mad when trustees are hard-headed. I don't get mad when folk talk about me in the city. You know why? Because I understand God don't owe me nothing at all. It's only by the grace and favor that he's allowed me to be here. So when shady people try to stab me in my back, I just go ahead and get my bib out and say, you know what? You ain't nothing but a prerequisite. You know why? Because he said he prepared the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He didn't say he was going to prepare it in front of my mama or my daddy. I needed a shady Negro just like you to make sure. Don't get mad at your haters. Buy them a Starbucks card. Buy them an energy drink. I need you to have the energy to keep on hating on me so I can keep being blessed. You seem to be tired. You know, every now and then, Buzz Bunny will help Elmer Fudd out. He knew it wasn't no cartoon without Elmer. Hold on, let me help this hater get out from under this rock so I can keep being blessed. Your enemies is a prerequisite to your blessings. Don't get mad, get glad. Hallelujah, Jesus. See? I used to get mad, oh, they don't know this, whatever. Absalom, though, he began to play to the crowd using false humility, acting like he was truly humble and was serving out of love and compassion when he really was serving with an agenda to undermine the ordained leadership. You got to be able to discern them Absaloms and Jezebels that disguise as tongue-talking church folk. They can say, but can't say hey to you. Jesus. But don't like nobody around him. Jesus have mercy. Can praise God on cue. Jesus! See, y'all think that your enemies come like your enemy. No, the devil disguised himself as an angel of light. They'll be the same folk that's clapping for you. Wilbur was real happy, Sister Peter, when they were bringing him all their food. But then Charlotte said, they're going to kill you, boy. Wilbur thought they was feeding him because they loved him. They were feeding him because they was going to eat him later. Some folk in your prayer group because they just trying to find out the information. You got to learn how to discern who you talking to. You better stop praying. If you always the one telling all your business and telling what you want to pray for and they don't ever need no prayer. It may be an Absalom or Jezebel. It didn't matter if David made the right decision or the wrong decision. Absalom would agree with the citizens no matter what, especially when it was controversial. See, the Bible says that he stole the hearts of the people. I couldn't believe he was able to steal the hearts of the people that followed the mighty David. Sister Reynolds, David that killed Goliath? The David that was after God's own heart? Sister Ross, I can understand him stealing the hearts of Saul's people because of all his insecurities. I can see him stealing Jeremiah's people because he always whining and bringing bad news. I can understand them stealing from Ahab because Ahab had that crazy Jezebel as his wife. Come on, somebody. And she was evil and he was henpecked and weak-hearted. I can understand that. But they stole David's followers? Not David, Brother Dre, that sang the praises shall continually be in my mouth. Not David who sang, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Not David that sang, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Not David. But what gets me baffled more than anything, Deacon Ross, where were the people that had David's back? Oh, you didn't know you was in the text. Yeah, all y'all in the text. With your observe itself. Surely someone saw the evil plot he was planning, sitting at the gate greeting the disgruntled citizens that had to be punished, judged, or chastised. Surely they saw Absalom's motives were not pure. Where were David's people? Seems like somebody could have pulled David from the side and to the side and let him know what the word in the street was. Brother Jarvis, see, David knew the word in the street when he was in the street. But when he went to the palace, he was shielded from some of the information because everybody don't take the mess to pastor in the beginning. Come on, somebody. Y'all don't hear me. By the time I find out, I already know it's been going on for 2 and 3 weeks. See, that's why the police have people they call informants, because the police are not a part of the streets. You hear what I'm saying? They're not a part of the streets. So they need informants that are parts of the streets that let them know what's going on. Apparently, the crowd that he ruled over in the streets at this time were a different crowd of people that he ruled over when he first killed Goliath. See, what I'm saying is that your pastor is going to remain viable. If he's going to remain viable, it's with your help. See, I don't care how smart you think your pastor is, he needs you to know he needs your help. When God gives you a vision, it is much bigger than who you are. And if you don't have allies that subdue your enemy, you will get weary and fall. See, you can't let Saul run David out the camp. So many churches and organizations lose great leaders because the allies sat on the sidelines and let the enemy run amok in the camp. No leader remains viable by him or herself. Your pastor needs your help, and you need your pastor's help. If you can't breathe life back into the people that lead you, after a while, the leader is not going to have any more life to speak into you. You can't have a viable voice for a long time without somebody pouring back into you. Y'all don't hear me. Those saints that have been in the race for a while have got to shield the younger leaders from getting destroyed by those Absaloms and those Jezebels in the church. When old school members leave, I know they left because they want to, but when new school members leave, I try to find out what happened, because it ain't nothing but an old school Jezebel or Absalom that then ran them out the house. But I need some old school people. I need the mature adults, come on somebody, to stand up and make sure you protect those babes in Christ, because it's some tongue-talking evil folks sitting in the pew trying to be used by the devil to sift the new members out like wheat. Oh, I can hear y'all in the spirit when them young people were so happy getting baptized, jumping on chairs, and just so happy that they were saved. I could hear the stench of some of the disgruntled people mad because they were acting foolish. But the Bible says that if one is saved, all the angels in heaven rejoice. You better learn how to get ignorant every now and then. You better learn how to act a fool every now and then. Every now and then, you better grab your praise tower and praise the hell out of yourself. Ha! Yeah. Stop letting them Absaloms in your house. See, me, I get crunk. Sister Oladipo, I like when the devil come because I know I got him scared. Then it don't do nothing but make me more aggressive and more gangster. When something out of order, you better watch out because I'm coming for the devil then because there's something wrong with me. I don't take mess from the devil. When the devil, I'm a hood Christian. That's why I say, who you with? Come on, somebody. Who you with out there? Who you with? Get crunk. Who you with? Don't sing the whole song. It's a Holy Ghost lyric right now. Yeah, when the devil's fighting in the front, I know I got him on the ropes. When the boxers got some on the ropes, and then they sit back and try, you know how they sit back in the movie and try to be funny, and they be like, I got a gun, they throw their gun down and fight, whatever, devil, psh, I got a gun, I'm shooting you. I don't know if I'm going to win or not. Whatever I got, I'm coming at you with full force. You need to serve the devil his warning right now because when the devil comes at you like a flood and begin to send Absaloms and begin to send Jezebels, it's because he know that you're about to have your breakthrough and he's trying to convince you that you are not about to have it. Right when you're at the cusp of your deliverance, right at the brink of your breakthrough, the devil begins to throw all he can at you because he can't create anything. He can only kill, steal and destroy. He can't create no more demons, so he throw out everything that he needs to throw at you right then to try to convince you that you won't have the victory. But I'm going to tell you right now, when he come at you, stand. When you done all you can, just stand. Hey! Y'all don't hear me? I rebuke every Absalom in this house, every Jezebel, every cantankerous spirit, every spirit of discontentment, every spirit of disorder. I kill you right now. Oh. The devil done made me mad now. I'm walking in my apostolic anointing. Y'all better watch out, eh? Ain't no longer hiding it no more. Sometimes you try to fly under the radar, but sometimes God let the devil get you so mad that you go ahead and you walk in all the glory God has called you to walk in. I speak blessings over you. I speak prosperity. I speak deliverance. You better understand you got a prophet in the house, and I begin to speak life over you and not death. You shall live and not die. You shall be victorious. You are more than a conqueror. Ain't no more broke people in this house. I call you wealthy right now in the name of Jesus. No more lack. You better stop letting these he, she said this and that people to run you out of your blessing. Sitting at home watching the broadcast on TV because you let that devilish person take your seat. You crazy. Now, you don't own the seat. What I'm really saying is come to church. You might not have the same seat because they're not assigned. You know, I had to put out that disclaimer. It's not your seat. I'm sorry. Get here a little early. Take your lace front off and save your seat if you have to go to the bathroom, you know? Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. I'm myself today, because I was so mad at 8 o'clock. I don't know. If all you serious saints, you want a serious word, listen to 8 o'clock. I ain't laugh at all. I took my shoes off so I wouldn't be too mean. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. See, but the older generation must understand the fish that we're fishing for are more complicated than the fish we caught back in the day. See, one thing, one of my old school members, Mr. Bubba, taught me is that when you're fishing, you can't catch different types of fish with the same bait. Yes, I know God the same yesterday, today, and forever, but I also know that God's methods still change, although his principles don't. See, you wonder why only two people from Moses Baptist Church made it to the promised land? It's because everybody was like, when we did it with Moses, he had a staff, and he spread the Red Sea before. Joshua ain't even got a staff. He talking about stepping the water first. I ain't going. And some of y'all still caught up on yesterday. Can I tell you why Moses didn't go to the promised land? It wasn't because he cussed God out. It wasn't because he told God to kill himself. It's because he struck the rock the second time when God told him to speak to the rock that time. He began to try to function today on yesterday's word. God does not cause you to be blessed the same way you got blessed yesterday, because he don't want you to get caught up in the method. He wants you to get caught up in him. He don't want you to get caught up in the way you got blessed. He wants you to get caught up in the blessor, not the blessing. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You trying to live out somebody else's story. Stop trying to be like everybody else. That's the problem. People come to the house and try to tell my house how my house should be. Your house is your house. My house is my house. I lead the way God tell me to lead. That's why God didn't say, I'm going to take my spirit and put it on the people. He said, I'm going to take the spirit of Moses and put it on the people. Why? Because you're going to have the same spirit in the house where you are. If you don't like my spirit, you need to find another church where you can connect to, so God can take you to another level. You can't go to another level sitting under a pastor that you don't love. I don't care how many times that you've been to this church. I don't care if you've been here since 1945. I don't care if you was here when the first brick was laid. If you're not connected to the pastor, you need to find somewhere else to be so God can bless you. Because until you learn how to fly in formation, you won't fly very far. If the geese know this, why you don't? People trying to kiss. See, you can't fish in fresh water the same way you fish in salt water. People that catch a lot of fish in salt water won't catch any fish in fresh water if they don't change their methods. See, they will brag about how much fish they caught in California, but get upset when they can't catch fish on the coast of Virginia. The problem is you keep trying to set your bait the same way. In fresh water, the hook should be on the bottom and the sinker should be on the top. But when you bottom fish in salt water, the sinker should be at the bottom and the hook should be on the top. So many people miss blessing because they don't listen to those who've been exposed to things that they don't understand and they won't listen. If you want your voice to be viable, stop getting caught up in doing stuff the same way and trying to run what you ran yesterday the same way you run it today. It was funny. Everybody kept telling me how T.D. Jakes, he got the screens, but he don't use the screens. And why you got the big old LED screen, and T.D. Jakes got more money than you. And it's funny, I got an inbox today and said, because somebody was like, man, you know what? All them haters that talk about how T.D. Jakes been using the screen a whole bunch lately. You know why? Because God uses different bait to catch different people. This screen ain't for you with your old self. This screen is for the millennials. This screen is for the young people that don't go to church. This screen ain't for you if you still want to tap on the floor and put your finger in your ear where you get your praise on how you want to. complaining about something that ain't for you, no way. But thank you for your tithes and offering, because you did help put it up here. I do appreciate that. Fact, don't complain. If you don't know what's going on, just help us put the fish in the boat. When we catch somebody, stop trying to throw them back in the water. Help us clean them out. Come on, somebody. Help. Don't you cuss them out. Help us get their pants up. Come on, somebody. Help us get their skirt a little longer. Come on, somebody. Help us get them together. Help us get them off the street. Help us get them out the whole house. Help us get them out the crack house. Help us get them off alcohol. Help us get them clean. If you don't understand what's going on, it don't matter. Just be a part of the game and participate. Just play with the winning team. If you don't know how to fish for him, just help us put him in the boat. I don't know why I'm so hyped today. I'm sorry. I'm just working poor Debbie to death. I apologize. I'm so sorry. We're going to get you a hand massage. We're going to get her a manicure. Hey, make sure we get her a manicure. I know her hand's tired, child. Jesus. We'll get us some hand therapy. The job of the deacons and the associate ministers and the deaconesses and everybody leave. See, your job is to help the palace get the message across, not to create your own message at the gate. Like Absalom, and undermine the message coming from the palace. See, some of y'all think you with us, but you think your ministry is above the church. It's more than just a women's ministry. It's more than just a men's ministry. It's more than just a diaconate ministry. It's a whole bunch of ministry. And truth be told, we don't have everlasting money, so we can't do everything all the time. And the funny thing is, most of the leaders that complain are the ones that don't tithe. I ain't never seen people that tithe complain. Hardly ever. But the ones who don't put in nothing, always the ones that want the most money. That's why I love Deaconess Bell. When she knows it's somebody who ain't tithe, she's like, if you tithe, we'll be able to get what you're talking about. And you trying to serve, and you think you're serving, but you got your own agenda, just like Absalom. I say, no, you can't do it, and you're going to dig it easily. Well, ask Pastor. He might not have really meant no. Well, ask Brother Dre. He talked to Dre. Oh, you know what? Go to Brother Jarvis. I know he listens to him. I said, no, I meant no. But they want to go to everybody I'm cool with, as if I'm going to tell them yes because it's them. It's not about personality. It's about vision. It's about what God said. When I sat down last week, I didn't know what I was going to preach. I had 4 sermons together, and God didn't let me teach any of them. I was hot at God, but I sat down and did what he said. Because he is God. You know what God told me? And I'm glad I wrote it down. God told me, because I was worried about offending people when I preached today, I was worried about bringing a leadership thing. And God said, you know what? Don't worry about upsetting nobody. Because if you worry about upsetting them, you're going to upset me. Just stick to the word and you'll be okay. That's what he said. So anyway, your job is to get the message out. And see the same people. If it was the same people that was there when David killed Goliath, he would have been okay. See, I believe God had me do that leadership sermon last week because we got so many new members. And Lord knows at the baptism, I ain't no hardly none of them folk. Them folk were doing flips and somersaults, splashing the water out the pool. Y'all see that? Just psh. I was like, girl, this ain't our church no more. Just throwing water out. Girl, this ain't the beach. Cannonballing in the back. So with crump. Jesus. So I know my message ain't got to them yet. They just got here. Your job is to make sure they get the message. Not to get your message.
but to get the message God is sending through me to them. Your job is to be at the gate to make sure they understand what I'm saying, not what you say. Oh, man, I know this is an in-house sermon, but can I let y'all know something? People don't think I show restraint. I probably moved more when the bylaws weren't set like this. I need you to do know. I we just had to vote and do all this. We don't have to do all that for me to move you out of the way no more. Please do what you're supposed to do. Because I don't like people be mad at me. It's like every time God, I be in a peaceful place, then God just make me do something to shake folk up. Just walk with me. Move when I move. When I move, you move. She hood. We found one. She's about to jump out her sand. Look here, let me get out of here. She was ready, just like that. Yeah. Jesus. Lord, send me some saved people to my church. Oh, God. Luke, let me get out of here. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. It ain't my fault, Sister Debbie. It's them people over there. That girl right there. Mm-hmm. It says, look, we need to learn how to live by this. In verse 12 of Luke 16, it says, and if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you which is your own? Until you're faithful over another man's or woman's vision, God will never give you your own. Some of us are going to look down the road at a failing ministry and wish we would have done stuff differently. Until you learn how to be loyal, everything around you will continue to fail. We've got to learn how to help each other and work together. When God sees us working together, he can trust that our voice will remain viable and he will promote us as a corporate body. But as long as we allow Absalom and Jezebel to disrupt the unity of the house, we will not be able to withstand the storm of the wicked one. See, when I was a young real estate agent, deacon, it was hard for me to persuade people to list their home with me. And I would go and I wouldn't get to listen, but I would always get invited. And one day my broker sent me with a veteran agent and he walked through the process and he got the listing. And I noticed he did everything the script said. And I said, how does that script work? That script don't work. He says, it does work if you use it. You keep trying to modify something you don't even know the story to. He said, the message of the sale pitch works if you use it. You continue to try to modify something you don't even know. In order to remain viable, Deacon Brooks, who don't want to be deacon, but Deacon Brooks, you have got to know the message. Then you have to stay with the message. It will sell if you know it. See, the great thing is about the message is the older you get, the longer you be with it, the better you get at it. You don't read the same Bible at 40 that you did at 25. You don't read the Bible the same way at 62 that you do at 45. That's why I hang around the mature adults. Come on, somebody. Some of the mature adults ain't mature, but I hang around the mature adults because they have been around longer than me, and the Bible is a little more seasoned than them. Have you ever had food one day, but then you didn't have enough time to eat it? Maybe it was 6:59 yesterday and you knew you couldn't eat it, so you had to put it back in the refrigerator. But it's something about when them elements and them seasoning have enough time to just marinate in the meat, and although it's left over, it tastes a little better because it done seeped into you. I'm going to tell you one thing about life. When you've been wounded by the world and you done lived a little long time, when that word starts seeping in the cracks and crevices of your life, in the broken places, you begin to read it a little better because it just, you're more seasoned. That's what I like about David. David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. If you read it, I know you know a lot about a lot of things, but I know what the word says. See, the thing about it is, the Bible says that stuff I'm going to use this bag again. It worked last time. I don't know if it worked or not, but in my mind it did. You know, they say a man might not work, but in his mind, his ways work, so I'm thinking it worked. If it don't work, just roll with it anyhow. Look at this. But the thing about this, some of y'all think that people changed. And you think that all of a sudden this person started acting shady with you. But I got news for you. They were already shady. You just weren't spending enough time with God and you couldn't see their true colors. Can I tell you something? As long as you're not operating in your anointing, the demons can hide from you. You can hide from me all day long. Oh, but don't try to come up to me if you fake on Sunday and Tuesday. Because when I'm operating under my anointing, you are forced to reveal yourself. When I first got here, Brother Jarvis, people say so-and-so didn't act like that with nobody else. It's because they never been around anybody under their anointed moment. Remember in Mark chapter 9 when Jesus stepped on the scene and the boy started going into convulsions? He wasn't going through convulsions at first until Jesus stepped on the scene. And when Jesus stepped on the scene, the demons started going crazy for two reasons. One reason was when a lesser spirit sees a greater spirit in the midst, it know it got to get out, but it try to convince you that it don't gotta go nowhere. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If somebody acting a fool in your life, you better get happy, grab your bib, put it out, because God about to give you a steak dinner blessing. Because, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. He didn't reveal. When the demon understand it has to leave. So it tried to convince you that you're not going to get a breakthrough. So he attacks you the most right then, because he only can kill, steal, and destroy. He can't create no more demons. So he ain't got time to waste demons on you if you're not about to get blessed. But when you're about to get blessed, right, the customer, here he comes. But another reason they show you is because when you operate in your anointing, the demons got to let you know who they are. It's protocol. Because you're walking on a whole nother level. That demon gotta let you know. This word right here about to bring some leaders out the shadows and some of my unknown enemies about to let me know who they are. And the same with you in your life. When you go to your job, the anointing for this sermon gonna be on you, because this is a sermon I would never preach to a regular congregation, but God so had me teach it to you because he's about to take you to another level in leadership on your job, and this anointing is gonna drip out on you on Monday morning, and your enemy's gonna let you know they shady. They might not say, I'm your enemy. Come on, use your common sense. But something's gonna happen to reveal to you who they are. Yeah, I'm trying to be good. I got my shoes off. That's why God showed me. See, when I was on the mountain, I didn't take nobody with me because God told me to go by myself, because he wanted to get me in a place by myself. And I began to just understand that I had to begin to get rid of everything in order to get to him. I had all this stuff in my bag, and so I had to start throwing off bishops and throwing off apostles and throwing off Sunday school workers. Come on, somebody. And throwing off some of my hatred and throwing off some of my impatientness. And I had to start emptying stuff because I couldn't get to the top. My cell phone even started getting heavy, and the only thing I had in my bag that I carried was my water bladder, baby. And you know why God had me only carry that water bladder? Because that is what the life blood is in the spirit realm. You know why? Because some of y'all smell real good. You put on your scent of praise. You got your hair laid just right. You smell real good in the natural, but you didn't wash your spirit with the word of God, and your spirit stink. Your faith won't stink. Your humility stink. Your long suffering stink. Your meekness stinks. Your love stinks. Your patience stinks. All of the fruit of the Spirit is rotting around you because you ain't washing. You gotta wash it with the water of the Word of God. All you need, all I needed on the mountain was my water. I didn't need my Snapchat. I didn't need my Instagram. I didn't need my phone. It was weighing me down. But one thing about that water, the more I drank it, the more it energized me, because I needed that water to give me life. And some of you all need to understand, the more you go through life, the more you need to drink the living water of the Word of God. You need to understand, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why? Because the Word of God is the incarnate embodiment of Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. If you've been in a relationship with Jesus, you got to read the Word. And y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The more you read the Word, the bigger God gets and the smaller your problems get. Let me get out of here. See, water, the thick thing about water is water. If I pour this in another container, it'll take, look at this water. It's still water. This water, all this stuff liquid. This water took on the shape of this bottle. This water took on the shape of this bottle. This liquid took on this shape. This liquid took on this shape. The anointing takes on his shape when it's in him. Takes on her shape when it's in her. Takes on my shape. You need to understand your personality. That's why you gotta stop getting caught up in being a cookie cutter church. You need to understand that the embodiment of the anointing comes from the Godhead, flows to the shepherd, and flows to you. God is not going to take new birth spirit and put it on you. He's not going to take First Baptist Denver spirit and put it on you. He's going to take the New Beast Grove anointing from me and put it on you. If you don't like the shape of the vessel of the anointing, find a place that you like. Because I need you to walk in power. I'm not trying to make anybody leave, but what I am telling you is, some of you all aren't blessed because you don't agree with what we're doing. You don't agree with where we're going. Some of us just want to have church as a club and don't want to do nothing in the community. Find a place that fits your personality so that God can take you to another level. There's a power and a grace that we're about to walk in, because the devil that made me mad. And see, you should never make me mad. I'm a more competitive when I'm upset. And so I need you to understand that there's an apostolic anointing that has already been, because I was trying to run away from it. And so when you was mad at me a little bit, Reverend Drum, just putting your business out there, but we cool. It because I let it be, because I knew what I'm called to do, but I wasn't really to walk out on it. So when you started helping Reverend Harris, that begins to show me that God is ready for me to step out in the apostolic anointing that's on me, because you were doing an apostolic deed. Why? You were taking care of another church. Now, he's already been doing it, because he put out a king from us, and he put out Jonathan from us, he put out Reverend Sutherland from us, and other people have come in here for covering and gone somewhere else. He even put out the other guy, Reverend Tucker, from here, because we have been places that people have come and we put them out. And although I'm young, I know what I'm called to do, but the devil had to make me upset to make me walk in that power. I repent as your pastor for not walking in the anointed I'm supposed to walk in, but I'm telling you right now, baby, don't get left behind. I'm not George Bush, no child left behind. If you're ready to move, you better walk with me now. Why? Because we don't battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities from high places. And all we cast down vain imagination. You know why? Because you have a powerful spirit in you. I'm going to preach on this soon. But you need to understand, you're a little G God. The Bible tells us that. That's why you can speak things into existence just like God can. You were made in his image fearfully and wonderfully. You don't need no self-help book. You can read them for supplemental things, but you need to read your Bible first. You need the water of life. The unfiltered water of life. See, you know why? You know why? I don't want to talk about that yet. Sorry. Can I tell y'all something? God want to take it to another level. This sermon, it ain't even new. Ain't even new. I already put this sermon together. But y'all ready to hear it. And what I'm trying to tell y'all, I know I just changed. This is straight bipolar preaching. They're like, this joker just screaming. He looking at me like, he quiet now? What's wrong with you? He leaning up like, what is joker going to say now? Joke went from 100 to 0. I need you to understand, we the milk time is over. We done with milk and Similac. We need some meat because we called to go somewhere. Do you understand every time we do something, somebody else do it? We start doing basketball, people do basketball because you already been doing apostolic things. You just didn't realize what it was. And people don't realize what it is because they don't see it because they're not community-minded. They're just church-minded. So even sometimes people come in as guests don't understand all the apostolic stuff we do. They don't understand that we make disciples because I rarely go to Africa. Kimberly and all them other missionaries and see it all, they go all the time. I send them. And they come back and tell us what happened. That's discipleship. When we have a storm, all they got to do is go ask for money. Everybody else put the stuff together. I don't even halfway be at the church. When we be putting the stuff together, that's discipleship. But people don't understand it when you're doing real work. They only can see it boxed in a church. But they don't understand Jesus was put out the church. And I believe he was put out, Brother Tab, out the church to make us know that even though we in the church, we need to go outside the church. Jesus established the church and got put out for doing miracles, for doing ministry in a way people couldn't understand. Some old school people, not y'all, not the ones in here, at least I don't think. Some old school preachers and stuff, they can't see that it's discipleship. Because all they know is to stay in church. When I do stuff, they say, stop doing all these programs. You do a lot of programs, but when you're disciples. And I don't say nothing, but I'm like, you silly Negro, that's what discipleship is. I ain't do too good, did I? Okay. I just kept my shoes on. But what I'm saying is, I need y'all to hold my arms up. I don't let nobody talk about y'all. Now, I talk about y'all all I want. You know how you talk about your brother and sister, but then somebody say, what? You say, what about my sister? You were just talking about, I don't care. You can't say nothing. I can fuss at y'all, but can't nobody else do it. I need y'all to understand this, where we're going and where you already been. Now you understand it. Sometimes the devil don't attack you because sometimes you're doing stuff you don't even know it, so he don't know it either. But now because some things have been unearthed and some things have been said that put in the atmosphere that makes me have to come as a pastor and clean up the house and come back and bring order. Because it doesn't matter who is where and over what. At the end of the day, I'm the shepherd of this house. Okay? And when you're the shepherd of the house, you know where your people are. You feel me? You ain't going to put everybody in the 400 race because everybody don't have endurance and speed. You might put them in the 4x1 and not put them in the 4x4. You might have somebody run the 800, but you know what? They can hold up a 2-lap, but you might not put them in the mile. You know your people as a pastor, and I'm not a cookie-cutter person. When I first came here, they said, write this vision together. Put this together. And I was like, I just got here. I'm writing a vision. Because you the pastor. I don't know y'all yet. How can I write a vision for a people I don't know? I can't take the same vision from Green Forest and bring it here, or the same vision from here and take it to First Baptist Denby. You have to find out what has God called this house to do. You see? Because I may go somewhere else if God tells me, and I might lead them a totally different way. Because it's all about what God has called that particular house to do. So what I need to get y'all to understand is, this is ministry is not cookie cutter. Some people think that because only thing they know is church. I'm an educator. I know differentiated instruction. I'm a businessman. I've been well-versed in other things besides church. I understand certain things. I understand business plan and strategic plan. I understand it so I can understand God because God is everywhere. God ain't just in the church. He's in business. He's in law. He's in politics. I know it don't seem that way because of the White House right now, but he there. So what I'm saying is this. God is about to take us somewhere. I need y'all. Magnificent. Stand up, Magnificent. Deacon Dawson. If you haven't done your spiritual gifts assessment, I need you to do them, to complete it and get it to Deacon Dawson. He's going to get it to Minister Ann, and she put it in a spreadsheet. All of y'all who've completed it and turned it in, I have you in a spreadsheet, so people would be calling you. I'm praying. I took you on the mountain, but I was too tired, so I ain't pray for y'all too much. I was like, man, I see this when I get back home. I was tired. I was like, Jesus, I can't breathe. I can't be reading this stuff. But what I have it, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure when I read over it and pray for it, especially if you answered it truthfully. Don't copy off nobody's paper. It's your gifts. And what I want to do is make sure we put people where they're supposed to be. But because you know what? Just because it doesn't matter if you're a deacon or a deaconess or a trustee, titles mean nothing to me, because they mean nothing to God. Martin Luther King led this nation without a position. Gandhi led his without a position. Mother Teresa led us without a position. Positions don't mean anything. That's why I love the book 360-degree Leader by John Maxwell, because it teaches you can lead from anywhere. What I had to learn here, and I'm going to sit down, is I love the deacons, I love the trustees, but you can't use every deacon for every situation. You know why? Because, I used to think that Paul, when he said, every time I try to do this and I do something else, I used to think it was just his sinful nature. But it's not just his sinful nature. It was his tradition of being a Jew. And as a Jew, he had certain customs, but he was called to teach the Gentiles. And so a lot of time, Peter and other folk would get mad because he was doing stuff. And then he said, every time I try to do what I'm supposed to do, something rise up in me and try to make me do this. But he was saying, I keep doing this Jewish stuff when I'm called to the Gentiles. And even Peter finally got the vision when he said, get up, kill and eat. He never got up and kill and eat. But when he saw Cornelius, and then Cornelius began to speak in tongues, then he said, you know what? If he done spoke in tongues already, he ain't even baptized. Of course we can baptize him, because they weren't supposed to. But then he understood what God meant. You understand? So what I need y'all to understand is some churches call us worldly because we do stuff in the community. Some people call us worldly because we do comedy on New Year's Eve. But some of those same churches do the same thing we do now. So you know what? I don't ever worry about what people say, because I already have operated in the apostolic anointing anyway. I just don't ask for permission, and apostles don't. I don't have to ask you to do that. When I first got here, people would say, well, why you didn't ask so-and-so, could you do that? Why you didn't ask him? I'm supposed to ask him, what is the mafia? Well, the kiss the ring of the bishop of the city? For real. I'm like, these jokers are crazy. But seriously, so what I need you to understand is we always in the forefront. And when other people start doing it, what we do, we let them have it. And then we start doing something else. That's what apostolic ministries do. They trailblaze. But then by the time somebody else catch it, you somewhere else. And so we're going to let them have some of the things we've already done. And some of y'all are going to be mad. Why you let them have it? Because we ain't got time to do that. If they doing it and they doing it effectively now, it's time for us to do something else. You understand? You see what I'm saying? People talked about me. Call me Uncle Tom. They ain't calling to me in my face because they knew I was crazy. They had to get to me, though. And I called them like, you got a problem? Because they didn't want me to work with the police. But everybody want to work with the police now. But sometimes they don't do it for the right reason, because some people do it because they think it's going to help grow their church. That ain't what it is. It's because you need to make sure that you protect the community and bring the cops and the people together. You understand what I'm saying? But now everybody's doing it, so pretty soon we probably start doing something else. Because you got to understand, I need to know your gifts, because some of you all don't have titles, but you have gifts that I need to use here to make sure we get done what we need to get done. Because if everybody work where they're supposed to work, it won't be no cracks. She's like, she ready to go home. I'm almost through, I promise you. Hey, look at this. She's like, this Negro just keep talking. I thought it was already over. I'm almost, I got you. If everybody stayed in their lane on special teams, even Deion Sanders wouldn't run the ball back. Because if everybody stayed in their lane, everything would be covered. The problem is he'll run this way, everybody go that way, but he faster than everybody and go the other way and outrun everybody. It's called breaking down the defense. But if the defense stayed in his lane, it would never be broken down. And no one would ever get by. The devil can't get by us if everybody stay in their lane and operate in their gifts. So I need you to complete your spiritual gift assessments, give it to Magnificent Deacon Dawson. That's his self-proclaimed name. I just give it to him. And make sure so I can have them and I can go over them, and then I'll start meeting with people with him and other people to make sure that we figure out exactly where you need to fit. Amen? Now, with that said, anybody, I'm sorry, the word is over. I know I kept talking. Is there one that wants to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Is there one?